This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
The federal government is drafting new laws to prohibit hate speech. It's going to be based on sex, gender, sexuality, race, or religion. And it sounds good and certainly welcomed by groups of people who are often the targets of hate speech. But as we in the LGBTIQ+ community know too well, the lobby groups are pretty powerful, and it's often us who are sacrificed when it comes to negotiating such laws. So, what should be addressed in the proposed laws? Nicole Shackleton is a lecturer at the Graduate School of Business and Law with RMIT University. Nicole, welcome to Drive.
Thank you so much for having me, Warren.
What exactly is hate speech, and are we seeing an increase in it?
That's a really good question, Warren, and hate speech is notoriously difficult to define, which is part of the reason why the law has been just so bad at dealing with it historically. So generally we see it as speech that is harmful in some way. It either is going to be harmful to the individual or group that are targeted, so it might cause hatred or ridicule, or we might see further incitement to violence against a particular group. So language that drives up violence or hatred towards a group is quite common as well in definitions of hate speech.
Continue, please.
Oh, sorry, Warren. There has certainly been a rise in hate speech recently, particularly in the wake of what's been happening over in the Middle East. We have definitely seen a rise in Islamophobia, hate speech against Palestinians and Jewish people and communities. But, you know, there are lots of other communities, as you mentioned in your intro, that have been calling for these better protection against hate speech for minority groups for a long time.
Do we know that, what's the link, I suppose, between the hate speech and the discrimination or the violence that can result? Like, is it sort of a one-for-one correlation? Like, how much discrimination and violence does it cause?
That's a really good question, and it's quite a circular phenomenon. So hate speech happens because a group is already discriminated against and disliked often in a community. So if we look at LGBTQIA+ people, for example, we already know that there is transphobia and homophobia in the community, that some of those groups are disadvantaged and disliked by certain people. And because of that, they will receive hate speech. The hate speech then kind of it tries to reinforce those beliefs, and that often then leads to more violence in the future. So we see it happening because groups are marginalized, and then because we have hate speech, we see further discrimination happening against those groups.
Nicole, we often hear that such laws inhibit free speech. That's probably the first argument that's thrown up. Do you think the general public understand why free speech at some time or in some instances does need to be limited?
Well, that's a really great question, Warren. And it does appear, so Labor have done some polling, and there has been a little bit of polling by political groups recently, and there does seem to be at least 50% or roughly 50% of the population or those polled in these surveys are supportive of some restrictions on freedom of speech. We, in this country, we have a strong protection, not legally, but like a strong cultural idea that we need to have freedom of speech and freedom of political speech. But by and large, most Australians do recognise that some speech can be harmful, and there is a recognition that in certain circumstances it can be legally regulated. So there seems to be quite widespread support for laws such as this, but we will see when these laws do get on the table, I'm predicting quite a divisive and politically charged conversation.
We're chatting with Nicole Shackleton, a lecturer at the Graduate School of Business and Law at RMIT University, about the federal government's draft of anti-hate speech laws. Nicole, we often, as we've spoken about now, associate hate speech with minority groups who might be seen as easy targets. Can it also impact larger groups of people in the wider population?
Yeah, so it certainly can, and probably one of the largest groups that we do see being targeted by hate speech are women. Cisgender, transgender women and non-binary people is one of the largest groups that are known to experience hate speech quite significantly, and making up almost or more than 50% of the population. We're certainly seeing widespread hate speech against certain groups. There is also evidence that because hate speech targets groups, it often silences their voices. And so when it comes to democracy and discussions, we're only seeing certain groups voicing their opinions because others are fearful of speaking out. And so it can really undermine democracy as a whole when we see groups being targeted by hate speech and therefore their voices being cut out from conversations.
The federal government's announcement indicates, I suppose, new laws prohibiting hate speech will include criminal, not civil penalties. Will that make a difference as a deterrent?
That's another excellent question, and not necessarily an easy one to answer. There is certainly symbolic value in criminal laws putting a line in the sand saying this behaviour is unacceptable and we as a society recognise it's unacceptable and therefore is breaching it is a criminal offence. However, we do know that the history of prosecution of criminal hate speech laws in Australia is not very strong. We don't see many prosecutions of these laws. So it's really up to what happens next about whether they're going to be effective or not. However, their symbolic value will certainly be there simply from having been put into law.
What do you think needs to be done in to ensure that the hate speech laws are effective?
The most important thing is that we are very clear from the beginning what the purpose of hate speech laws are, which is to protect communities that are silenced by hateful and abusive language. So there needs to be a strong education campaign around why these laws are needed. And then moving on from there, we really need to see these laws being integrated into more of the society, and the principles behind these laws being integrated in things like policies and procedures on online platforms, being integrated into the way that people speak to each other, both face-to-face and online. So seeing these laws filtered down into some of those softer spaces is the best way to make sure that the message behind the laws themselves is effective, and that's when we'll see real change, when we start to change our attitude towards each other in everyday interactions.
Nicole, it's an important conversation. When do you reckon we're likely to see a draft of the laws? Is there any indication at all?
Well, the government has announced, and there's been some prediction that we should see it in July or August. But I would say that while this certainly seems to be a priority for the government, we never know what's going to come up between now and then. Mm. But hopefully we do see it in the next couple of months and we can get it to debate at least in the second half of the year this year.
Nicole, we need you to chat to the government.
Sorry, what did you say?
We need you to have a chat to them and tell them what they need to do.
Yes, definitely. I have had a chat to the state government a number of years ago. So Victoria is where I reside, and they made moves on this about four or five years ago now. So we've seen moves being, seen the law moving in this direction for a number of years, but be assured I am definitely talking to the government about this stuff.
Fantastic. Nicole, please keep us posted. We'd love to know how going. Thank you so much, and thanks for joining us on Drive. That's Nicole Shackleton, lecturer at the Graduate School of Business and Law with RMIT University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.